passion for God and compassion for our neighbor, reaching our region and beyond with the life-changing message of Jesus Christ. This is Faith Church. And now, Pastor Kurt Truxas.
I love to work. It is so good to take a nail and to see it and to pound it into wood. I love to sand and to polish and to see the beauty of the grain. But I think what I like most of all, I like to see the smile on my customers' faces when I'm done with a product. It's so good to see all that. And I can tell by looking at some of you think you recognize me. You think you know me. I've been hearing that a lot nowadays all around Jerusalem. People will say, don't you have a brother? Or others will say, you remind me about somebody I know, but I just can't place you. And every once in a while, somebody who's really astute will say, you know who you look like? You look just like that beggar who sits outside of the temple in Jerusalem. In fact, you're the spitting image of him. And I tell him, well, I don't have a brother. And as for that beggar outside of the temple in Jerusalem, well, actually, he doesn't look like me. Actually, that is me. Or should I say, that was me. Now, I know what you're thinking. That guy, he was blind from birth. He couldn't do anything. But you're working. You're making. You're seeing. That can't be you. Well, it would have never been me if it hadn't been for the one man I met. The man named Jesus. He changed everything for me. Let me tell you my story, because if it wasn't a story that actually I lived through and that I experienced, I probably wouldn't even believe it myself. You see, I was born here in the city of Jerusalem. I was born blind, and I lived on the other side of town. I mean, you and I do not know what it's like being born blind, but you can't do anything for yourself. You can't help yourself. You can hardly feed yourself. Even as an adult, as I grew up, my mom was afraid to leave the home for fear that I would slip out the door and become lost in the crowds of the street. She was afraid to leave the home for fear that I would brush up against one of the hot pots on the stove because I couldn't see it, or I would step on something sharp in the kitchen. I spent a life of being able to do really almost nothing. Well, then one day my parents had an idea. They said, there is something you can do. There's something you can do to help the family. And I was desperate. Sure, anything. What is it? It's humiliating. I'll try. You can beg. You can beg. And every morning they would take me and they'd lead me by the hand down through the roads, and they would put me right outside of the temple on the road there, and they would sit in the corner, and I'd beg for a living. It was humiliating, but at least it was something I could do to help our family. What I would do is I would sit, and I'd raise my gray, lifeless eyes up to the sky, and I'd hold up my hands, and I would say, a shekel for the poor, a shekel for the blind. And the worshipers who were on their way to the temple that would tug the strings of their hearts. And inevitably, they throw a few shekels into my lap. Especially generous were fathers who were bringing their young sons to worship. And they were trying to teach them about being compassionate and kind and loving to the poor. They would see me on the side of the road with my gray, lifeless eyes. And I would say, a shekel? A shekel for the blind? They would stop and they'd throw something into my lap. But because they had their sons with them, their sons would say things. You know, children have a way of saying the darndest things that none of us adults would dare ever speak. Their young boys would say, "Father, why is this man blind?" I'd asked myself that question countless times. God, why was I born blind? What did I do to deserve this? I never had a chance. So many others enjoyed the gift of sight. They could work. They could do things. And all I could do was live on the kindness and handouts of others. God, why? Do you hate me? Don't you love me? I asked that to myself for years. God, what have I done wrong? Well, it actually all began to change last year around the Feast of Tabernacles. There was a rumor of a new teacher who had come into town as a man named Jesus. And I had heard on the street that Jesus had healed people up in the northern region of Galilee. In fact, he had healed many people. I even heard he fed thousands of people off of just a small boy's lunch. And we had known that months earlier, and heard that here in Jerusalem, he had made a lame man walk. And I thought to myself, maybe, just maybe, if I could somehow run across him, he could bring healing to my life. He could bring sight to my eyes. But then again, what are the chances of that happening? Here in a city of thousands upon thousands of people, during one of the busiest holiday seasons, and all I am is a man, a poor beggar stuck in a corner on the side of the road. Why would Jesus see me? But I prayed. I asked God, God, please, if there is some way that you would connect us, that you would bring kindness to me, I ask that you would do it. It was actually at the end of the Feast of Tabernacles when God began to answer my prayer. I heard a great commotion in the tabernacle. And in a way that only a blind man can sense, I could sense the crowds going by me, pressing into the temple. And I realized that Jesus was in there, and I asked others, what is going on? What is Jesus doing? And they said he was involved in a debate. He was debating the religious leaders. And I wondered what was going on. And I could feel the crowds were pressing in around him. And with the so many people, there's no chance. How would he ever see me here seated on the ground in the corner? But then after a little while, in a way that only a blind man can sense, I realized the directions of the crowd were changing. They weren't pressing into the temple. They were actually starting to come out of the temple. Maybe Jesus was leaving. This is my chance. He will pass by, hopefully, the road that I am on. Maybe, just maybe, he will see me. So I raised my lifeless gray eyes to the sky. I held my hands up and I prayed, God, please, may this prophet see me. May you work a miracle in me. And as the noise of the crowd grew louder and louder, I realized this was the chance, and it actually happened. First, I didn't hear the voice of Jesus. I heard the voice of a man that asked the question that I'd often heard out of the mouth of boys. Jesus, why? Why was this man born blind? Was it because of his sin or was it the sin of his parents? And then Jesus answered the question, but he answered it in a way I'd never heard before. It was not because of this man's sin or his parents' sin, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. The works of God? In me? You mean God? You want to do something in my life? You mean my blindness was actually for a reason? I thought it was because you didn't love me. I thought it was because you hated me. You mean you were going to use this blindness? And in a way that blind men can sense, I realized that a crowd was gathering around me. I heard the shuffle of feet. And someone got down on their knees right in front of me. And they did the strangest thing. They began to spit. I was expecting to get wet. They spat again. Again and again they spat. They were spitting on the ground. And then I heard fingers working through the dirt. And I realized that they were making mud. This person was making mud. And then he began to apply it onto my eyes. Jesus made mud and he applied it onto my face. And then he said, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." And as quickly as he had come, this man named Jesus left. Now, it was sort of embarrassing, I have to admit. It's embarrassing enough to be a man born blind. But to be a man born blind now with mud on your face? Well, people were looking at me. Some were chuckling. But others said, "Come, let's go." In fact, one man said, hold on to the corner of my garment. Let's go to the pool of Siloam." I didn't know why he said that. And the pools of Bethesda were just right around the corner. I could have gone there so quickly. Maybe I could just peel the dirt off my face. But no, Jesus had said to go all the way to the other side of town, to the pools of Siloam. I had asked that God would maybe do a miracle through him. Well, I guess it was only fair that I believed him. So holding on to the hem of that man's garment, I began to work my way, shuffling through the crowd, and I sensed all the people around me. I heard some chuckle. "Look, he has dirt on his face." And I still trusted. "Jesus, why didn't you just wave your hand over me? Jesus, why didn't you just speak the word and heal me? Why this?" But I will trust. I will believe. I will go. After a while, we ended up down by the pool. And the man helped me, who led me. He helped me not to fall in. And he let me put my face in the water and to rinse the mud off my eyes. And then it happened. Blinding light. Like when someone turns the lights on in your room at 3 o'clock in the morning. Just blinding light into my eyes. Reds and greens and blues. And the world was so big. The sky was so blue. The city had so many more people than I ever imagined. It was beautiful. And I could see. Jesus had healed me. I couldn't believe it. The man who led me just stood there and his mouth was hanging open. I've been healed. It's a miracle from God. I began to walk back. I could see the temple on the horizon. And as I walked, I was filled with joy. I could see an entire world around me that had been dark to me before this. And as I got closer to the temple, I couldn't walk. I started to jog. But why go to the temple? I needed to tell my parents. We only live blocks from the temple. So as I got to the temple, I rounded the corner. And now I was in a full sprint to get home and to see my parents. And I burst through the door. "Mom and Dad, I'm home. I've been healed. I can see." You know what they said? "Yeah, right." Mom just kept stirring at the stove. Dad said, "That's not funny." And so I said, "Mom, Your hair is a beautiful gray. Your eyes are such a deep brown. I love the green robe you have on. They turned. They looked and their mouths hung open. My mother came over to me as I kept describing her and telling her what she looked like. And she touched my face and she touched my eyes and tears were streaming down her face. She couldn't believe that I'd been healed. My father, he didn't know what to say. He could see the weakness and wobbling in his knees. And he grabbed a chair and he kept saying, "Now, how many fingers am I holding up? Is it two or is it three?" "No, Dad, it was actually four. I've been healed." Now, Mom and Dad reacted differently. Dad just kept asking the same question over and over again about how many fingers. Mom, she just had a talk. She ran out into the neighborhood and she said, "My son's been healed." And she started telling our friends and our neighbors, "It's a miracle of God." But as quickly as she had done that, it seems like she came right back and she was stomping her feet. "They won't believe me. Come on, son, let's go. I'm going to prove it to them." And we went from house to house and she talked about how I'd been healed. And she showed them to me, or she showed me to them. And you wouldn't believe, they had the strangest reaction. Some people celebrated. Some people said it was a miracle of God. But a number of people said, "No, we don't believe you. It's just somebody that looks like your son. Somebody that looks like me. It is me. Ask me any question you want. You won't believe. It's me." Well, this led to quite a controversy in our neighborhood. Some people believed it was actually me and that God had healed me through Jesus. Others just said it can't be true. So we decided after a while that we would take this controversy to the religious leaders, to the Pharisees. These are the ones who had spent their life studying the book. They knew God. They knew his word. They knew what were real and true miracles. Maybe they could help just let others know that this is truly a miracle from God that has happened by the hands of Jesus. So I went to the Pharisees and I told them my story. "You remember me? I was the blind beggar. I was right outside the temple. I've been there for years. Many of you have thrown shekels into my lap. But the man Jesus, he spit and he made mud and he put it on my eyes and he told me to go wash at the pool of Siloam, and I did, and I can see." Now, rather than producing clarity, that statement actually produced a lot of controversy. They began debating amongst themselves. Some said, "Well, truly this man must not be a sinner. How could God do a miracle like this through him?" And others said, "This man must be a sinner because he had violated the Sabbath law." According to their interpretation of God's word, they said that you could not work on the Sabbath. And they said that healing, unless it was a case of life or death, was a violation of the Sabbath law. That Jesus had violated the Sabbath. Not only that, but Jesus, when he had spit on the ground and he had made mud with his fingers, that was kneading. That was a form of work, that he had worked on the Sabbath and violated the Sabbath law there. And still others of the most strict religious sect said, "When he anointed your eyes, it was a form of work. And he violated the Sabbath again. So truly, Jesus, he must not be a man of God. But how could it be true? I was blind. He anointed my eyes with mud and now I can see." So they asked me, "Well, what's your opinion? What do you think about Jesus?" I thought to myself, "Well, that's why I came to you. I'm just a blind beggar." So I thought to myself, "Well, then who is Jesus?" Well, I thought of the stories my parents would tell me when I was a child, how they would read for me these stories from the book. They would tell me. And then I thought of the prophets of old and how God had worked miraculously through their hands. And I said, Jesus, he's a prophet. He's a prophet like we read about in the book from days of old. Well, they apparently didn't like that. I started to realize that anytime you made Jesus look good in their eyes, they got quite upset. So what they decided to do was call in my parents. They felt that this was all a sham, that I was not really the blind man who had been outside, but I just looked like him. So they brought my parents in. And then while I was waiting for my parents to come in, I learned something. That they had already decided ahead of time, even before any evidence came in, they had already decided that anyone that believed that Jesus was the Christ, the anointed one from God, would be put out of the temple. Now that may not mean much to you, but to be put out of the temple in Jerusalem in our society is a huge deal. It meant that your friends, your family, were shunning you. As a business, all the people that you knew who loved you, who came and bought your products would no longer come. It meant financial hardship. It meant isolation. It meant rejection. It meant you might as well leave that city altogether. And here they were. They were going to interview my parents. And if they didn't say the right answers, they were going to be thrown out of the temple. What did they do to deserve this? Absolutely nothing. Now, I was starting to get angry. My father, thankfully, is quite wise. He knew about this controversy, and he said to my mother, "Now, don't say any real opinions about Jesus. It'll cost us. Just stick to the facts, dear. Just the facts. Yes, this is our son. Yes, he was born blind. But how now he sees, we don't know." After that, they turned to me and they said, "Give glory to God. We know this man is a sinner. Tell us again how this happened." When they say give glory to God, that is the way they put you under oath to tell the truth. They assumed that I was lying. They assumed I was making this all up. They were sure that Jesus was a sinner. And Jesus was a trickster trying to deceive the people and that I was part of that group. They were claiming that this really wasn't a miracle. That I was just a big, fat liar. I couldn't believe it. I said, "You know, all I know is that I was blind and now I see. That's all I know. I was blind and now I see. Why do you want to hear me tell you the story again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" Oh, they got mad at that one. They said, "You are a disciple of Jesus. We're a disciple of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this guy, we don't know where he came from." And I said, "You know, this is really amazing. You don't know where he came from, yet he has opened the eyes of a man born blind, and you know it because you saw me for years right outside of the temple. And you're refusing to listen to the facts. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners. If this man were not from God, he could do none of this." Well, that pushed them over the edge. I opened my mouth and inserted my foot. And they said to me, You were born in utter sin. How dare you lecture us?" And they kicked me out of the temple. I lost my fellowship. I lost my friendship. I lost all the relationships. They kicked me out of the temple because God healed me. As I walked down the streets, I had this mixture of joy because I could see because of a miracle from God, but yet utter and complete sadness because the leaders of the temple wouldn't believe that it was actually true. And as I walked, a hand reached from behind me and touched my shoulder. I turned to see a face that I didn't recognize. Of course, I didn't know many faces at that point, but this face looked different. Instead of being stern and harsh like our religious leaders, it had a smile and a sense of joy. And the man looked at me and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" Well, I didn't know the face, but I recognized the voice. It was the voice of Jesus. Son of Man? I remembered as a child, I had learned about that. The Son of Man is talked about in Daniel chapter 7. It's a passage where it says the Son of Man and the Ancient of Days are together. And the Son of Man is a man from God, who comes from God. And he is the judge of all the earth. And some people recognize him and worship him, but others reject him. And I said to Jesus, "Yes, I believe in the Son of Man." And he said, "I who speak to you am he." And all of a sudden, it all snapped into focus that Jesus was not a prophet from of old. He was not a man of God. But he was actually the very Son of God. That is why he could do what only God could do. And yes, he is the Messiah. The passages in the book of Isaiah said that the Messiah would be able to do things that only the Messiah could do, that he would open the eyes of the blind, that he would unstop the ears of the deaf. And he had opened my eyes, that Jesus truly is the Son of Man. And then I realized that Jesus had done for me not just one miracle, but he had done two. Well, yes, he had opened the eyes of my body to see him. But the other miracle he did is he opened the eyes of my spirit so I could recognize him for who he truly is. And then I realized that everyone is born spiritually blind. The real tragedy in this world is not physical blindness, it's spiritual blindness. And unless God himself does a miracle and opens the eyes of our heart to see Jesus for who he is, we will be forever blind. And that is the real tragedy. So, what I do is I work. I work because I can see, but when I work, I tell this story. I tell my story to people. Now, when I tell my story, I pray in my heart that God would do a miracle. Not opening the eyes of their body, but opening the eyes of their heart. Because I know that unless God opens the eyes of their heart, they will never see and understand Jesus for who he is. They'll be forever blind. So when I share my story, some will receive it, and some will see Jesus through it. And others, well, they think I'm nuts. They think I'm a liar. My prayer has been this morning that God would open your eyes, that as I shared my Christ story, that you would see that God is, or Jesus is, the very Son of Man, the very Son of God, who came and he died in our place for our sin. And that through a miracle of God, he opens our eyes to see and recognize who he is. Well, It's probably time for me to get back to work. I have to go back to being able to see those nails and to polish that wood. All things I can do because of a miracle of Jesus who opened my eyes. But the greatest miracle of all is when he opens the eyes of our heart to see him for what he truly is, the very Son of Man.
This has been a presentation of Faith Church. More of Pastor Kurt's sermons can be found online at christtoourculture.com. Thanks for being with us, and may God continue to enrich your life.